this morning, the great flood, and I think most of us know of the great flood of Noah, and we're going to be looking at that story this morning a little bit. And so go ahead and turn with me, go ahead and turn your Bibles. We're going to be looking at Genesis, we'll start in Genesis 6, but let me ask you this. Have you ever thought you could, that you, to yourself, I can get away with this? I can get away with this. No one is ever gonna see. No one's watching. I can get away with it. I don't know how many times I busted Xavier. He's like, how did you know that? I'm like, I know. Moms, you have that sense too. Like, yeah, I know what you were up to. Much like this mom who was visiting her son. I don't know if you've heard this illustration or not, but this mom, she was visiting her son. And while they were there, a roommate comes in. This nice young lady comes in, and she's there. And she, mom can't help but notice the attraction between her son and this roommate. And so mom, she's just checking things out, and she's watching the two like a mom would. And the son's saying, you know, I know what you're thinking, right? I know what you're thinking. We're just roommates. We're just friends. There's nothing going on. She sleeps in that room. I sleep in my room. And mom's like, okay, all right. So a week later, the roommate says, hey, have you seen that silver plate? You know, the one that sits up there? I haven't seen it. I'm not saying that your mom took it, but it's not here anymore. And he's like, no, my mom wouldn't do that. But the son writes this letter to emails his mom, and he says, dear mom, I'm not saying that you did take the silver plate from my house, and I'm not saying that you did not take the silver plate, but the fact remains that it has been missing ever since you were here for dinner. Love, your son. Mom ponders and breaks out on the keyboard and says, dear son, I'm not saying that you do sleep with your roommate, and I'm saying that you do not sleep with her, but the fact remains that if she's sleeping in her own bed, she would have found the silver plate under the pillow where I had placed it. Anyway, this morning we're going and we're going to look at this text, and we need to realize that the Bible in God's Word, He says He sees everything. There isn't anything that He doesn't take notice of. He knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows what's going on in our minds. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. I've always been amazed that people think they can get away with things and that think that God isn't going to know about it. But the Bible teaches just the opposite. In Genesis 5, verses 5 through 12, it says, and we're looking at these people that these people here. Let me read this. The Lord saw the wickedness of the man, that the man was great on the earth, and that every intention of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. Man and animals and creepy things and the birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have ever made them. Wow. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are generations of Noah. Noah was righteous, was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jacob. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. If you have your Bible, just kind of look at it, right? All right, hold it up. I think that it's rather disturbing that when you go to Genesis and you look at the very first chapter. The very first chapter. And then by chapter 6, we've only gotten that far in the Bible, and what God had created and spoke of in the very first chapter in verse 31, where it says, "And God saw that everything that he made was very good." He now has nothing to do about it. I mean, it only took us that long to mess it up. What was very good is now very corrupt. It's pungent. Well, if you notice in verse 5, the words that are said there, that the Lord saw the wickedness of man. If we believe Jesus sees everything we do, if we really believe that, that he sees everything we do, I can't help but think we might walk a little bit different. If we believe that our Heavenly Father was sitting like right next to you right now, was walking with you, went with you to work, went with you to your jobs, your school, which will start here soon, the way you act in your house, what you watch on your TV screen, I think you'd be a little bit different. Maybe not. Scripture says in Mark 4:22, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." Nothing is covered up, it says in Luke 12:3. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden, that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Scripture says you're not getting away with anything. What you said over here, someday everybody will know. And God saw that the intents and the thoughts of the human hearts were only evil. Kind of describes the century in which we live in right now. So much evil going on. In verse 7, God condemned the earth and pronounced judgment on an unruly group of people. He said, "These people can't behave." The passage goes on to say that the earth was corrupt. And all flesh was corrupted. Father said, "You know what? He took an Etch-a-Sketch." He said, "Except for that little spot on the Etch-a-Sketch, it's like you can never get rid of anything, but that little spot, that's Noah. That's Noah's family. But everything else, he's had enough of." Let's talk about the ultimate architect, the ships. The ship that God designed. We look in Genesis 6, and starting from the 13th verse there, it says, "And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch." This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make the roof of the ark and finish it with a cubit above, and set the door of the ark of ark in its side. Make it the lower second and third decks. And behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of birds according to their kind and animals according to their kind, of every creepy thing on the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded. We've got this unsavory lot of people that can't behave. So the Lord said, my answer is this. I'm going to bring judgment, but not to you, Noah. I'm going to tell you how to escape judgment. That's an amazing thing, too. God is grieved. God is angry. God is being judgment. God, in the middle of all this, God is being merciful and gracious. He allows Noah and his family and the animals to escape the judgment that everyone else will suffer. Notice the architectural design of this vessel. It's very huge, right? And so just to put things in perspective, all right? So the ship is, this vessel is some 450 feet long, all right? So if you're on this side of the sanctuary and you look out the window, there's like an orange bucket. I took it out there, it's out there in the hay field, and I lazed it, and that is how far, that's how long 450 feet is. And so if I was to ask my mathematical genius in the room, he would tell you, John Alcantara, that 450 feet is 150 yards, right? So if you're on this side, from the food pantry, the very back of the food pantry, to the coffee shop, all right, that's the length of this vessel. As a matter of fact, you could just put the, you could put space shuttles, I mean the NASA space shuttles, on top of the ark. Not just one, not just two, but three of them. You could put 450 semi-trailers inside of the ark. Think about that. Not a small vessel. This boat was big enough to hold all that God wanted in the ark. No bigger, no smaller. What he wanted in there, he made it to spec. And you got to remember that Noah, he didn't have DeWalt tools and everything else, right? A belt sander. it took a little while to pit that together. Can you imagine those who were watching him build this ship? Like, what is up with you, Noah? Building this way out here, this big boat. And those who were judging him, they would be judged in the end. Look at Genesis 8. You look at the birds. Look at the birds that are there. It's, Noah entered the ark in 7 days, you know, and it started raining. It says that the ark came to rest in Genesis 8:4. And read along with me here in Genesis 8, it says, at the end of 40 days, Noah opened up the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot. And she returned to him and the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark. He waited another 7 days and again sent forth a dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. And he waited another 7 days and sent forth a dove, and she did not return to him anymore. Noah sent out a raven first. A lot of people don't remember that he sent out that raven first. And then he sent out a dove, and then he sent another dove, and the fact that he came back with nothing, and then again comes back with that leaf, that olive leaf in his mouth. And so Noah spent just better over 364 days in that ark. Every day was a day of judgment outside of the ark. Inside of the ark was grace. Genesis 8, 20, 21 says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings of an altar. And then the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. The Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. I think so, when I read this, you know, the first thing, you know, you see when people, they finally get off an island that's been marooned, they get off, or they're like, oh, I find, or they're on a boat, they finally get to land, and then what's the first thing they do? What do you see them do? They get down their hands and knees, they kiss the ground, right? Oh, I finally made the land. Noah, he said, he wanted to thank his Heavenly Father. He wanted to thank his God. He built an altar in which it was a pleasant aroma to him. You know, every Sunday, I believe that when we come here and we sing songs and praises to him, it's just like that. It's a pleasant aroma to him. We come here on Sunday and we say, thank you, Father, for how you've carried us through this week. We see that raven. It doesn't say that it ever landed anywhere, does it? Some people are saying, what happened to the raven? I know that the ravens don't get a good shot here in Alaska. I know in Fairbanks for sure they don't. But this raven, we can see that although it couldn't land, it shows the mercy that God gave that raven just to continue to fly and to soar until he could. People, through all of this, it seems like we would learn. After something like that, how could we not believe in a heavenly, awesome God? I was reading this week, and I'm looking at where Father is leading the Israelites, and he leads them by what during the day, church? What does he lead them by? How does he guide them? By a cloud. And at night, how does he lead them? What's that? Okay. So, I mean, after they've already been rescued from Egypt, they've gone through the Red Sea. I mean, it's parted. And not only is it parted, the ground is dry. Where it was wet, I mean, it's dry ground. And now he's leading them. How could you ever, I don't know, if every day I seen this cloud that was leading me, I'm like, well, there's God right there. And that pillar, that fire, how could you not doubt him? Why would you want to act up? Why would you want to be disobedient? But we see here, not only after he's wiped out everything on the earth with the flood, in chapter 11, we read, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and burner for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower with its top into the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they possess to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us. Whenever I see that, let us. What does that speak to you, church? When he's, let us. Let us go down there. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity right there. He's saying, come, let us go down there, confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, all the earth, and they left off their building in the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. Babel. It's funny now that there's like a language thing that's named Babel, right? How you can learn how to speak another language. But listen, it says this next story we still haven't learned, that God sees everything and that we can't behave, and that this group, there were three goals they wanted to reach. They wanted to get to heaven by means of man. They wanted to make a name for themselves and to keep from being dispersed over earth. But they failed on all three counts. Let me say this and close with this. This is the story. This is what I want you to see out of this story and this whole Noah's Ark thing. That God did not design the ark just as a means of mercy, but as a means of mercy in the midst of judgment. Outside of the ark, judgment was taking its place. Inside the ark, God's mercy and grace was at work. And what we have in the ark is the picture of the salvation of God. Just as he had designed the ark, he designed a plan for his salvation, for our salvation. Jesus is the door, and inside of him, we are safe. Let me say that if you're experiencing judgment today, I want you to know that you can experience mercy and grace through our Heavenly Father. You can come to a place where God judged your sin on the cross. It's there. He says, hey, I did it all for you. Father, we thank you for your love and what you share in your word. How it is written in love. How you sent your son for us. And that no matter where we are in life right now, you are with us. And for those who are searching and needing you, you are right there. All we need to do is to say, Father, I need you. And surrender. And to acknowledge that He is the one true God. He sent His Son for us. So that we could have life eternal. In your name I pray. Amen.